WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe. Bevere Cafe offers versatile catering options for breakfast meetings, working lunches, or afternoon receptions. Services include a wide selection of food and beverages suited to any budget. More information is available online or at 244-2233.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 15th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And talk to the guys at Earth Risk Technology in Chicago about the weather forecast, not only for the Midwest and the harvest season, but for the setup of planting in South America. And we'll do it all right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. December corn futures at 343, up 4.5 cents. The March at 355, 4 cents higher. The May at 363.5, up 4. And July corn up 3.75 at $3.70.5. Next year's December at $3.89, 3.75 higher as well. From the soy complex, nearby beans, that's the November contract, at $9.89.5, up 4.25. January dollar at $9.97.5, up 5 cents. And the March at $10.04, up 5.75. May contract, that's the harvest month for South America, at $10.11, up 6. And the July at $10.16 in the bean pit, up 5.25. November of next year at $9.97 for you new crop soybeans, up 3 cents for the day. Bean meal futures finished the nearby contract at $338.80, up 30 cents. And the bean oil at $33.27, 72 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the nearby October at $156.50, 22.5 cents higher for the day. December at $159.15, down a dime. Feeder cattle finished up at $229.27.5 in the September, 20 cents lower. The October at $226.07, up 15 cents for the afternoon. And lean hogs for the day: October contract $106.25, up 55. December at $95.90, finished 40 cents lower for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil trading the nearby contract at $92.90, up 63 cents for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.74, that's just about unchanged on the afternoon. And gasoline or the RBOB in the October at $2.53.3 is a penny and 0.4 cents higher. Natural gas up 7.1 cents at $3.92.8, and ethanol futures in the lead option are trading at $1.82.1. That's the October contract, and it's 0.7 cents higher for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,037, about 46 points higher. Gold at $1,234, up $3.75. A troy ounce, and the U.S. dollar trading 84.24, unchanged. And that's on a 20-minute delay, of course. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area today, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm before 4 o'clock this afternoon Central Time. A chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4, cloudy, a high of 65 degrees and a west-southwest wind at about 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Tonight, a chance of showers, mainly before 7 in the evening, cloudy during the early evening, then gradually clearing, dropping to a low of 45 degrees and a north wind at about 8 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall at 30% for the night. Then tomorrow, sunny skies and 66. Tuesday, clear and 45 for the evening. Sunny skies on Wednesday and 68. Wednesday night, a clear and a low of 49.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, let's check the marketplace for the 15th day of September with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
I suppose farmers were a little disappointed maybe today. They've been disappointed in the marketplace, but today they had rainfall, and I suspect they'd like to be trying to shuck some corn, or at least a few of them. What have you heard about the harvest over the weekend? Much come in?
Very, very little. It was outside the central part here for the most part. There was a little activity yesterday afternoon. Just east of Bloomington here, one guy was moving along, and it's about 24-25% moisture, and better than what he thought as far as what the yield monitor was showing. But there was expectations to get in today or tomorrow, but this morning's rain event's going to probably delay that a little further yet.
There was some strength in the marketplace. Why did that happen in the corn pit for the day?
Well, several things materialized to give a reason for a little buying interest. One, the market's just incredibly oversold, and just everybody's just bearish as bearish can be. So the momentum indicators are starting to turn up in here, and we're due for a little bit of recovery here for the most part. As far as fundamental factors, we saw the Mexicans come in, buy 120,000 tons of U.S. corn. China bought 180,000 tons of corn. China is in town and looking at maybe going ahead and putting some numbers out tomorrow morning on some long-term commitments for some U.S. beans. Feed grains are down to levels where it should stimulate a little bit of demand. So that coupled with the weekend cold temperatures kind of limited the selling pressure ideas. Maybe we lost up to 15 million bushels of beans and 30 million bushels of corn. But the main event is tomorrow morning when we see the FSA numbers. The trade's fearful that we're going to see a drop of 2 million acres on corn and 1 million harvested acres in beans. And that tightens up the supply-demand balance sheet a little bit more. So kind of up today, see what the numbers are tomorrow, and then I would assume that we'll find some resistance just above the market.
And so it's all about waiting for another set of numbers, and this one from the FSA. These aren't exactly official numbers, but will help guide USDA when it updates the and revises the acreage figures, in particular, I suppose, for harvested acres, in the October numbers from the crop production and the WASDE numbers.
Yeah, now whether they go full force and use these numbers, we'll see. But it's been long anticipated that we would see a drop in harvest acres, but that would be offset with a bump up in yield forecast, too. So there's a lot of moving parts. If you're a numbers cruncher, there's a lot of ways you can speculate on the supply-demand balance sheet on where we're going to go. But the main thing I think to realize as a producer at this point in time, whether it's yields up or down, acres up and down, demand's up and down, at this present time we're producing more than what we're consuming or exporting. The supply is greater than the demand, so therefore it's going to be awful hard to get a big bullish move in the marketplace until we get that more to neutral territory. As of right now, we're producing 790 million bushels of corn, more than what the demand is. And in soybean supply-demand balance sheet, we're producing over 330 million bushels, more than what the consumption side of the equation is. So I think that's kind of the theme or one needs to remember as we go through these reports.
Now, are you surprised by the remaining strength in the soybean market? Not so much in the nearby, I suppose, because there probably should be a premium as we wait for real harvest to begin and the push here in the Midwest. But the deferreds, the January, March, May in particular, still remain strong. March, May, July, August, September, all above $10 at this time.
Yeah, they're hanging in there. You know, I was really surprised at the strength as we were in that May-June time window. Since then, we've basically lost almost $3 off those highs. The June stocks report really put the damper to the bean market. Since then, we've just kind of been sliding sideways to lower in here. But the trade just is in a big hurry to get these beans down to $9, but it just was not too long ago we were at 12.5. So it's going to be kind of hard to see the bean market rally a whole lot as we move forward in through here. If harvest just around the corner, we're going to lose that big premium up front. The crush reports, you know, just confirmed we had tight old crop supplies. Monthly crush 110, oil stocks were 1.2 billion. Below trade expectations, but we just not had the beans come to town yet. And what we do get is bean harvest in through here, up in the upper Midwest in through here. I have a feeling the market's just going to continue to sort of drift and wander here for a while.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, the overall market sentiment remains optimistic. Looking at the monthly supply demand report last week, there's confirmation on their numbers that per capita consumption continues to slip. So as we continue to see tight numbers but heavier weights, we still have some meat to go through, and it's going to hinge on export news. In order to maintain these higher prices, we need to continue to see the export market hang in here to sort of gobble up the supplies we have. But overall, we feel the beef and pork sector, price-wise, is going to hang in there for another year to 2 years, Todd.
Kurt, I thank you for being with us today.
Very good. Enjoy it. Take care.
All right. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. Hey, please do visit our website at willag.org. You'll see a whole bunch of stuff there. I just posted a couple of things this morning. If you're thinking that you still need to chop silage and you happen to be in an area where that is still the case, there's some information from Phil Cardozo about setting the chopper. And then there's some information from Gary Schnittke about cash rents and a couple of really good cash rent graphics, one on county cash rents in the state of Illinois by county and a second one that has county cash rents across the Corn Belt. That's all at willag.org. And if you hit our Outlook calendar, you'll see what we have coming up, including this week's Wednesday night event in Harrisburg. That's in deep southern Illinois. We'll be there for an ARC and PLC discussion. Jonathan Kappas from right here on campus going south with us after the closing market report to Morello's Pizza in Harrisburg. And then on the 24th of November, and you can buy your tickets now online at willag.org after you get a look at this, we're going to host something that's similar to our All-Day Ag Outlook, which occurs in March. But we'll do this in November on the 24th. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois, that is, on the Illinois State University campus. We call this one our Farm Assets Conference. You can find all the details at willag.org. Now, here's Dave Dickey with an update of today's agricultural news.
Cargill has filed a lawsuit against Syngenta Seeds in Louisiana State Court. Cargill is seeking damages from Syngenta for commercializing its AgriSure Viptera MIR-162 corn seed before the product obtained import approval from China. Syngenta said in a news release that the lawsuit is without merit and strongly upholds the right of growers to have access to approved new technologies that can increase both their productivity and their profitability. Syngenta said it commercialized the Viptera trait, which genetically controls a broad spectrum of pests, in full compliance with regulatory and legal requirements. Cargill stated that since mid-November of 2013, China has rejected imports of U.S. corn due to the presence of Syngenta's MIR162 trait because of its lack of approval for import, virtually halting U.S. corn trade with China. A study by the National Grain and Feed Association estimated that U.S. exporters and farmers lost up to $2.9 billion because of the uncertain trade environment. Analysis of USDA numbers by the Pew Charitable Trust show that the food stamp error rate is at an all-time low. In 37 states, error rates fell between fiscal year 2008 through fiscal year 2013. In 2002, the national error rate topped 8%, while in fiscal 2013, the rate was 3.2%. Republican and Democratic senators are bracing for what is likely to become a major battle to rein in U.S. companies that relocate abroad to lower their corporate tax burden. Senator Chuck Schumer, a Democrat from New York, last week introduced anti-inversion legislation, but Republicans, most notably Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, says Schumer's plan is overly punitive. The practice, formerly called inversion, increasingly has been in the news, most recently when Burger King announced plans to move its headquarters to Canada. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today cut its economic growth forecasts for the U.S. and other large developed economies and said the continued weakness of the recovery demonstrated the need for significant changes in economic policy. The OECD now says that the U.S. economy is expected to expand 2.1% this year, down from its May forecast of 2.6%. It expects the Eurozone economy to expand just 0.8%, having forecast growth of 1.2% in May. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week in this Wednesday evening's event at Morello's Pizza in Harrisburg, Illinois. That's a couple hours, almost 3 hours, actually, south of here in Urbana-Champaign. Jonathan Kappas will be along to explain the ARC and PLC program. We'll also have a couple of analysts with us, including Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities down in southern Illinois at Morello's Pizza. Be there at 6 o'clock. Call the local farm credit office down there if you'd like to show up. Otherwise, you can just show up. That's perfectly fine. That's at 6 o'clock. We'll get started shortly after that. It's a three-hour ride, and I can't leave here until afterward. Done with the Closing Market Report, so we'll arrive right at 6:30, something about that time, to take up that ARC PLC program. It is the final in our series of Farm Credit Illinois sponsored events. There were seven of them, including the one on Wednesday evening of this week, until we get to after the harvest season. Here's one to put in your calendar and maybe just to go to our website and sign up for now. This is a $25 event, much like our All-Day Ag Outlook, but we call this one our Farm Assets Conference. It will be held in Bloomington Normal at the Marriott on the Illinois State University campus. That is on November the 24th. It's a Monday. Come to our website at willag.org. We'll have all of our regular on-air analysts with us. There'll be 12 of them. Jonathan Kappas will be there again to take up that ARC PLC decision, and everything will be finalized by then, so we'll have some really good details for you. Gary Schnitke will help you out with crop insurance and the new SCO program, and Bruce Sherrick from the U of I will be there to discuss farmland values. It's our Farm Assets Conference, November the 24th. In Bloomington Normal at the Marriott. You can check out all the details and buy your tickets today, right now, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. Now, up next, you heard this last week, but may not have caught it exactly, and I'd like to go back through it one more time from Daryl Good. As you know, it appears one of the reasons the USDA increased the size of this year's corn crop in that last WASDE and crop production report day figure was because there were more ears per plant than usual. If it is true, it's a unique fact. Last week, USDA projected corn farmers would harvest a record-setting crop, about 4.4 billion bushels strong. It arrived at the number in a new and novel way. This is not to say that USDA changed the way it makes counts. It did not. However, some of the ears the agency didn't think would make corn last month apparently filled out. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good thinks these are probably the second ears on the corn plant.
Looked like, based on their graph, they didn't publish a number, jumped to 400 to 500 ears per acre compared to the August forecast. That's a sizable increase, about a 15% increase in the number of ears per acre. Really haven't seen that happen in the historically. Suggests that in a number of cases that the second ear that was questionable in August now has been determined that it will be a harvestable ear producing significant grain, so that we got more ears per acre. Clearly the number of plants per acre didn't change from August, but so some of these double ears that people have been talking about all year long, looks like more of those will produce significant amount of grain this year.
This significant amount of grain has caused USDA to lower its season's average cash price received by farmers by 40 cents a bushel. The midpoint of the range is now $3.50. Good says farmers must now recognize the burdensome size of their crop. It is big, and that has marketing implications.
First, you have to recognize that there's potential for some further slide in corn prices. If you use 94 and 2004 as kind of analog years, when the production number did get bigger in October in both of those years, we tended to put in a low in the corn market in October, so kind of near the end of harvest rather than at the beginning of harvest. So if the number does get bigger this year, there's probably somewhat more down pressure on corn coming. Then again, using those years of analogs, you would expect some decent rebound in cash prices coming out of harvest over the next 6 months.
The question at hand then is, will the rebound in price be enough to cover the cost of storing the corn crop? It depends to some extent, says Good, on where the crop is stored. He says the current carry in the market does not cover the cost of commercial storage, but that storing the crop on the farm might work nicely. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check the cash grain market at this hour. On the phone line is Greg Johnson. He's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Greg, go through the premium structure you have at the moment for corn and maybe soybeans, too.
Yeah, there's premiums for both. The corn premiums have backed off a little bit at the processors. Bean premiums are still firm. So right now we've got a 19-cent better bid for corn delivered by the 20th versus our all-fall bid. And on top of that, we're throwing in some reduced-rate drying, which we figure is worth about 20 cents off of the normal rate. So that adds up to 39 cents. So there's still a 39-cent premium roughly in corn bids for corn that can get delivered this week versus all-fall. On soybeans, processors are paying about 250 to 275 over versus small unders for all fall. So there's still a very good premium. And those premiums, while they may not be $2 plus all month, there will still be, you know, some pretty good premiums all through the month of September until the bean harvest really gets going in October.
Hopefully the rain will stop and you'll be able to get some folks hauling in. Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson from the Andersons back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Creme de Menthe Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1879, Frank Luntz was born. And American entomologist, museum curator, educator, conservationist, and writer, he was one of the leading U.S. entomologists of the first half of the 20th century. He taught that insects were an integral part of the environment. In 1898, William S. Burroughs died. An American inventor, Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. In 1904, the first balloon used for meteorological research in the U.S. was released in St. Louis, Missouri. The balloon carried instruments that would return to Earth when the balloon burst. Since the first launch, literally millions of weather balloons have been launched by the National Weather Service and its predecessor organizations. And in 1965, the Green Acres TV show debuted. Running until 1971, the show featured the yearnings of want-to-be farmer attorney Oliver Wendell Douglas, who purchased Sight Unseen, a 160-acre farm in Hooterville. By the way, one of our favorite episodes has Douglas's wife Lisa telling the folks of Hooterville that her husband was a ruthless cow killer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is the closing market report on a Monday afternoon. Let's check now the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. On the phone line is John Davis. John, it does not get better than the previous weekend as far as it goes for fall. What a beautiful, sunshiny-filled weekend. Perfect temperatures, too.
Well, it was about as good as it gets. Dry weather, pretty breezy conditions, warm temperatures, sunny skies the entire time. Just literally a perfect fall weekend. The only problem is it's not officially fall yet.
Oh, that's true. We've not made it, have we?
Not yet.
Not yet. So, well, before we get there, I suppose we get more rainfall and gray skies kind of like we have today, huh?
Well, we do, but this will be a very brief event, so this wave of low pressure that's moving through right now will put down some light shower activity, and we'll have cloudy skies today, but things clear out tomorrow, and through the end of the week, we are fair and dry, so a nice open window from tomorrow through Friday. We will have rains returning over the weekend, so next weekend will not be like the past weekend, but we will have rains returning at that point. And the way the pattern is setting up right now, we will have some of these shower bands moving through at, you know, 5 or 6 day intervals, but in between these bands, we will have fair dry conditions. So it's not like we're getting bogged down into a pattern that would feature long-term rains and, you know, 7 straight days of cloudy skies and rains. It's a very progressive type pattern. So we get a rain event coming through. None of those look terribly heavy, but then we'll tend to get a stretch of fair dry weather after that.
As long as the evaporation rates are high enough that we can get back into the field not long after the rains come through, I suppose farmers will be happy.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, right now, if you add up all the rainfall over the next couple of weeks, it's a very normal type of a pattern. If not on the wet side, then again, it's not bone dry, and we're not going to be looking at 10 days of purely open weather, but it's a very normal type of pattern for this time of year.
Just 1 minute left now. Tell me about the cold temperatures.
Well, over the weekend, you know, with the coolness that we had, and Saturday morning was the coldest morning, we did see some temperatures down in the lower 30s across northern Iowa and parts of southern Minnesota, but we didn't have a hard freeze in any portion of the belt, and that is the item that would impact production and quality of the immature crops across those areas. Looks like really from this week and on into next week, it looks like a milder pattern is on tap, so certainly no worries about any kind of a hard freeze damage across the Midwest as we go from now into next week.
And just a short note, are we setting up okay in South America?
We are. In fact, rains are increasing in Brazil, and so their situation is improving as planting gets underway.
Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That is John Davis. He's with Earth Risk Technology out of Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear it again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.